Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're taking a look at what the Word of God says concerning the marriage relationship. The message is called God and Marriage, so let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 as we go back to basics.
He created us to have relationships. And He created this relationship of husband and wife so that we might enjoy companionship, that we might enjoy mental and emotional companionship, that we might enjoy spiritual companionship, that we might enjoy physical companionship. You know, one of the most wonderful things in life for me is just the friendship that I have with my wife. We often tell each other, "You're my best friend." And it's really true. And the older I get, the more I find myself, if I have the choice, I want to spend time with her. We go walking, we do things together like that, and we just have a great time walking for a couple of hours. We talk and reminisce about the past. We talk about our children. We pray. We talk about the future. You know, it's this companionship. We share things that are deep and, you know, iron sharpening iron spiritually and emotionally and mentally. And we have laughs and, you know, things like that together. But this is God's purpose. God wants us to enjoy this relationship. So the primary purpose is companionship. God has brought us together for companionship. Now, procreation is a part of it also. God is into families. You know, the world around us isn't so much into families these days. And the more liberal your thinking is, the less family-friendly you become. Because you're worried, man, there's too many people on this planet. They're sucking up all the air and they're going to eat up all the food. And, you know, pretty soon we're all going to die. So we got to stop these people from having babies. You know, I mean, this is just where people are at today. But God is into family. God is into this community thing. And, you know, really, the attack on the family that we are presently experiencing and that has been going on for decades is really, it's an attack against God. It's an attack against His institutions. And that's the truth with these, you know, things that have come down from the courts regarding the same-sex marriage. It's the truth with abortion. It's the truth with the divorce laws. It's all a cosmic, spiritual conflict that we are living right in the midst of, because these institutions, marriage, family, children, all of this stuff goes back to God in the beginning. Now, we as Christians, we are, you know, some of the only people that know this stuff today. So we have got to really take this seriously. If we ever have any hope that things are going to turn around in our culture, it's got to turn around with us first. And, you know, quite honestly, I have heard this myself from the gay activists and different people. They mock the idea of the sanctity of marriage because they say, if marriage is so holy, if marriage is so wonderful, how come you guys don't treat it like that? How come there's so much divorce? So they just dismiss any arguments about the sanctity or any of that regarding marriage because they say you don't demonstrate that in your behavior. And so if we are, you know, that voice that's speaking out right, you know, just comes to my mind now. I think of very tragic things where some of the pastors that have spoken out against some of these different things, and then you find out they themselves have been involved in these very things that they're speaking out against. And then again, the world looks on and laughs and says, it's a joke, it's hypocrisy. We can't take that seriously. So you see, we have got to take these things seriously. The purposes of marriage are companionship, procreation, but as Paul tells us here in Ephesians 5, there's another purpose. Marriage is to display to the world the relationship between God and his people. That's what Paul said there. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, what God wants to do is he wants to take your life, your marriage, and he wants to use that as an example of his love. And he wants to shine your married life around to others so they could see the beauty of what God intended in marriage, the beauty of what God intended when he created us for relationships, especially the relationship that he wants to have between us and himself. And so these are the purposes of marriage. There are many more. And somebody said to me earlier today, they said, you know, you could have talked for, you know, three straight weeks on this topic and not covered it. And of course, that's true. We have a very brief amount of time to address these things. But let's bring it down to our last point here, keys to a God-glorifying marriage. Now, you know, people will talk about marriages in this way. They'll say, oh, you know, I've got a really bad marriage. Or somebody will say, I got a good marriage. You know, marriage is neutral. You don't go down to the mall and pick up a good marriage, you know, if you got the money, and if you're a little low on cash, you gotta pick up a bad marriage. It's not like that. Marriage is what you make it. It's what you make it. And God's picture of marriage is it's a good thing. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. This is a good thing. It's not good that man should be alone. This is the good thing. I'm going to make a helper suitable. You see, marriage is good. It's intended to be good. And it will be good if we do it God's way. But if I'm going to ignore what God has to say about it, then of course it's going to be unpleasant, to say the least. And many have had the experience of an unpleasant marriage. But why did you have that experience? I think you would say, well, because we didn't do it God's way. It's true. Even when you do it God's way, it has its challenges. But the blessings far outweigh the difficulties. But three keys I'll mention real quickly. Key number one is, if a marriage is going to glorify God, each of the marriage partners must have a personal commitment to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, what do I mean by lordship of Jesus Christ? What I mean is that we have got to see Jesus as truly the head of our lives. We've got to see Jesus as our authority. We've got to see Jesus as our Lord. The problem with so many today is, it's a problem that Jesus addressed in his day. He said, why do you call me Lord and not do the things I say? And this is the case with many people today. They say, oh, I love the Lord, but he's really not the Lord. They don't have that kind of submission to him that the word Lord implies. But if I am going to have a God-glorifying marriage, I as a man, my wife as a woman, she has to, I have to have a personal commitment to Christ where I take my relationship with him seriously and I obey him. I do things the way he tells me to do them, not the way I feel like doing them necessarily, not the way sometimes I want to do them or the way somebody else tells me. I do things his way. That's number one. Secondly, we've got to live and walk in the Spirit. Now, this teaching on marriage here in the fifth chapter, the context of it is really what you might call life in the Spirit, because in verse 18, where Paul begins to go into all of this practical teaching on relationships within the church, relationships within the home, relationships on the job, and so forth. That's preceded by this exhortation. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if I'm going to live for the glory of God, if my marriage is going to glorify God, I am going to have to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to have to walk in the Spirit. You know, it's possible, as Paul mentioned in Galatians, to live in the Spirit but not walk in the Spirit. In other words, it's possible to really be a Christian, to truly be born again, to really know the Lord, but not to be walking in the Spirit, and therefore you're not going to be experiencing the blessing that God wants to bring to you because you're walking in disobedience, essentially. Walking in the Spirit is walking in obedience, but it's also walking in the power that God has available to us. And so we must walk in the Spirit. Thirdly, we must obey explicitly God's instruction concerning our individual role in marriage. Now, I have met so many women and talked to so many women who had Ephesians 5:25 committed to memory. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I have met so many men who I think the first verse they ever learned was not John 3:16, but it was Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. But you see, this is where the problem comes in. The man is concentrating on what the woman's supposed to be doing. The woman's concentrating on what the man's supposed to be doing. Neither one of them are concentrating on what they're supposed to be doing. And here's the reality. When you just say, Lord, I am going to do what you told me to do, and I'm going to trust you to work in my spouse, guess what? God will do that. And you know, the woman who has a hard time submitting but just says, you know, Lord, I'm just going to do it because you said to do it. You know what she finds? She finds that suddenly her husband just starts to love her as Christ loved the church. And the man who feels like, you know, things aren't right and, you know, Lord, she's not submissive, you know what he finds? When he sets that aside and says, but Lord, I know what my responsibility is, so I'm going to love my wife as you love the church. As he starts doing that, he finds that suddenly she just starts to submit. You see, that's the way it works. But the problem is, so often, we are so busy concentrating on what the other person is not doing and telling them all of, you know, the things that we're frustrated over because they're not doing that thing. We're not doing our own part. And when both people are living like that, you end up in a very difficult and a miserable situation. So we have got to obey explicitly the instruction to us individually regarding marriage. Now, something that I think is very interesting is that the Bible is relatively brief on the subject of marriage. I mean, I think if you brought everything out of the scriptures that's in here on the subject of marriage, it would be a little pamphlet at best. It's very brief. We live in a time when there is more written on marriage and family than there has ever been written in the entire history of the world. There are thousands and thousands of volumes written over the past 40 years about marriage and family. But isn't it ironic that marriage and family are more messed up today than they've ever been before? What's the problem? Well, you know, all of this other stuff out there, I mean, you know, in the end, I don't know that we really need it. If we just would go back to the simple things that God has told us and we would apply these things, we would find that, you know, it works. It's relatively simple. And what I find with people so often, and I will sit and I will listen to them, and sometimes I'll go through two or three counseling sessions, and finally I'll look at them and say, you know what? Your problem is not a lack of information. Your problem is a lack of application. So, look, until you're ready to put into practice what you already know, don't come and see me again because I don't really have anything else to say to you. Because you know what to do. You just simply are not doing it. You see, the only way this stuff works is if we do it. You might know it all. You might have read all the books. But unless you're doing it, it doesn't work. We've got to do it. Now, marriage is hard work. I must confess, when I first got married, I did not think in those terms. When I first got married, I just thought, this is great. I've got a girl that's going to go to the beach with me all the time. She's going to sit there while I surf and just watch me. And, you know, then we'll go have lunch and, you know, and then she'll make dinner. And, you know, I mean, that was kind of what I was thinking. I found out very quickly that it wasn't really like that. Very quickly, I found out that, oh, this is going to take some work. And now, after these many years, I realize, you know, it's taken a lot of hard work, but it's worth it. Someone once said that marriage has been rightly called the university of love, because in many ways, it's like going back to school and taking some intense courses on difficult subjects like patience, kindness, long-suffering, self-control, forgiveness, sacrifice, grace. I mean, you know, where do you go to school to find out about those things? I'll tell you where. Get married. That's where you'll learn those things. You know, before Cheryl and I got married, I really was under the delusion that I was a quite humble person. And, you know, very patient and very loving. I soon discovered that I was greatly deceived. I thought I was humble, patient, and loving because if there was a problem, a conflict, I could just walk away from it and, you know, that was the end of it. I'd go home. But suddenly you're in a situation with a person and you can't go home because you are at home and they're there with you. But you've got to work at it. And you find that, you know, I think probably for most people, I know it was true for me, you know, most of us are drawn to each other initially physically. There's a physical attraction. You know, when I first saw my wife to be, I didn't know how spiritual she was. I had no idea who she was. I didn't check out the size of the Bible she was carrying as I walked into that home Bible study. I just looked at her and thought, wow, she's cute. Why is she leaving? I just got here. So we're drawn in by the physical, but then what happens? You know, it doesn't take too long before you realize, you know, as good as a physical is, this is not enough to keep us going. This is not enough to keep us together. There's so much more. And God wants to take us deep, and he wants to develop us emotionally together, mentally together, and of course, ultimately, and most importantly, he wants to develop us spiritually together. A few days ago, Cheryl and I celebrated our 28th anniversary, and thank you. Thank the Lord. He's been very gracious. And this is what I want to say. I want to say that we have had our ups and downs just like everybody else. We have had our fair share of disagreements and arguments. You know, they say that one of the most important things in marriage is communication. And I'll tell you this, Cheryl and I have never had a problem with communication except we do it at high volumes. But we've always been able to communicate really well. It gets noisy sometimes. So, you know, we've had our fair share of disagreements. We've had our fair share of arguments and more than a few knockdown, drag-out fights. Now, I don't mean we've ever, you know, physically gotten into a boxing match with each other. But, you know, we have had some battles that have just been really, really brutal in a lot of ways over the years. When we were living and pastoring in London, a young man that was part of our ministry team there, he ended up getting engaged to a girl, and they got married, and, you know, they started having some problems, and so they would call us to counsel with us. And we had another couple that worked with us. They were a bit older than we were, and they'd been married, you know, longer than we had. And, you know, their relationship was one where they just seemed to never have a crossword, never have a disagreement, always both of them just completely submissive to one another, you know, and, you know, it was a beautiful picture. And Raphael, my young friend, he, after marrying Loretta a few months down the road, he called me one day, and I could tell he was distressed, and he said, you know, Brian, he goes, you know, we always prayed that we would get a marriage like Alwyn and Gloria, but I'm afraid we got one like you and Cheryl. Now that was a compliment, believe it or not. But, so, you know, we've had our challenges. But if she was standing here with me today, we would both tell you that it's worth it. It's worth it. And that God is faithful. And that God has blessed us. And that honestly, it gets better with age. Each and every year as it passes, it gets better and better. And as we were just off on our little anniversary celebration there for 24 hours or so, up in Santa Barbara, where we've spent a lot of time, and Cheryl used to go to college up there and all. And, you know, we went up, and we've got a restaurant up there we like, and we visited that three times in 24 hours. And then we walked a long ways to undo what we did at the restaurant. But, you know, as we walked, we just talked and prayed and talked about our lives and the history, and we talked about the future, and we talked about our four children who we love so much, and how, you know, none of this, these people that are so wonderful and so important to us, how, you know, they would not even exist had God not brought us together. And we talked about our grandchildren, our two grandsons, and, you know, we came home, both of us, saying, you know, wow, this is the best anniversary we have ever had. It was just a sweet, sweet time. And, you know, I'm telling you, your marriage is worth working for. It's worth fighting for. If you're thinking about getting out of it, if you're fed up, if you're at the end of your rope, if you think there's no hope, listen, there's hope. There's God. God's real. He created us. He created the institution of marriage. And he's just waiting to come in and to fix this problem. But you've got to let him. You've got to open up your heart. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to start saying things like, I'm sorry, I was wrong, all of those kinds of things. Over the years, in the early years, when, you know, I've shared with people before, you know, when the first year of our marriage, Cheryl and I had a fight probably every other day for 1 year. The second year, we had two fights a week. The third year, we got it down to maybe one fight a week. And now, 28 years later, we have one fight every 3 years, you know. But God is able. And see, this is the thing. We are Christians. We've got Jesus. We've got God, the creator of the universe. If he can't get our marriages right, then nobody can get them right. Nothing can get them right. But here's the great news. He can do it. He will do it. He ordained marriage. He brought you two together. And he wants to give you the grace to forgive each other, to humble yourself before each other, to start to love each other again. He's going to do it, but you've got to give him that opportunity. I talked to two people this past week who told me that their Christian spouse is leaving them. Jesus said, that is not allowed. Jesus said it. It's not allowed. So whatever else you're hearing, whatever the culture's saying, whatever your psychologist might say, whatever some church leaders sometimes will even say, remember what Jesus said. He said, because of the hardness of your heart, God made allowance for that, but I say to you, no, we're going back to the original plan. A man shall leave his father and mother, cling to his wife, the two shall become one, and what God joins together, let no man say. God wants to heal and bless your marriage. Let him do that.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from our study through the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called God in Marriage, and the resource number is OBB481. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you are. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.